Now, there was a third idea, and this is really the second part of this first session. And that third idea was, well, heaven forbid, I mean, my goodness, how are we going to make any sense of this? There has to be some kind of order, some kind of thing which decides, you know, that there's an order here, there's a regular flow, there's something we can control, there's got to be something going on. How do we get any order in that? Well, quantum physicists, and between, I would say, 1920 to 1935 or so, and still going on today, began to develop a series of mathematical relationships. We call those equations. And these relationships govern the behavior of something rather mysterious, which itself connects with these jumping strange objects that we see called atoms and molecules and subatomic particles, including the behavior of large-scale objects as well, that something that had to, that we could control, that we can understand, wasn't anything that was itself a particle, a subatomic particle, an electron, a proton. It was none of the things that we could actually grab hold of, but it was something that existed below that level of reality. It was kind of like do 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 do. It was a kind of a magic twilight zone of reality that was halfway something we imagined, and we give a term to that. We call it imaginal, and something halfway real. And that thing that we could gain control over, that thing which gave us an order and gave us some ability to have some control over at least it, although most of it was in our heads, that thing has different names. One name that was given to it is the quantum wave. This quantum wave seemed to be something we absolutely had to have in order to understand the actual behavior of these objects that we see in our everyday world. So the question was, how do we go from this invisible quantum wave into the reality that we see? And that idea is also very strange because it changes our whole notion of time and space in order to even understand that. So that's really the early sessions of physics, quantum physics, that we began to discover as we began to discover this thing, this new physics that we call quantum physics. These are some of the early things that we found out. Now, as we said before, this wave, this invisible imaginary wave, not only affected reality, but implied something underneath reality. And what it implies is something involving mind. In fact, it implies mind so much that some of the founders, when they first discovered this effect, were so disturbed by it that they even said they were unhappy that they ever discovered the thing in the first place. Now, this is a true story. Erwin Schrödinger, the founder of this wave, this invisible wave, this quantum wave, actually said in an interview that if he would have known that this was going to lead to the quantum jumping madness that was discovered, he called it their Verdammte Quantum Springerei, the damned quantum jumping. If he knew that his equations were going to lead to that, he never would have invented the equations of quantum physics in the first place. Anyway, let me tell you a little bit now about just some of the brief history of how this was discovered, because I think some of these ideas will help us understand our own reluctance in discovering something new or trying to live with something new.